We were married in a graveyard on a Tuesday morning in downtown New Haven, Connecticut. We stretched out a blanket between two corpses, a lot of cheese and crackers and organic fruit, raw vegetables, no dip, and sparkling apple cider. And this short, stubby justice of the peace in a shabby sky blue suit, he assumed the formalities and the legalities. And I paid him discreetly in cash behind the nearest full-length tombstone. He seemed disappointed there wasn't any champagne. We'll get warmed up in a minute. Within a couple of months, we were pregnant, but she had a miscarriage. And we both decided this was a sign that we weren't meant to settle down just yet. So we moved into New York City, rented out a double bed and a hot plate in one of those Upper West Side artist welfare tenement buildings. And we did temp work and we tried to break into off Broadway theater, which isn't that difficult really if you don't want to get paid. Just get up and do it. But within a year, we'd all been separated. You know, by now I was crashing out rent-free in this loft space above an off Broadway theater in Greenwich Village. And she finished up doing stock theatricals in Thomaston, Connecticut, our town, and playing Agnes in Agnes of God. But we'd still get together every now and then. And one time, in a moment of pure hope, she got pregnant again. And she was determined to have the baby. So after Agnes, she moved back to New Haven in with her mothers, and I agreed to join her a couple of months later so we could have the baby together. So I did. And I didn't want to live with her mom. So we rented out this cheap second-story apartment next door to a spaghetti sauce factory. And she was 6 months pregnant by now, and there was a hurricane coming. The television was getting very, very excited. Nobody knows what to expect, insisted Channel 3, so expect the worst and stay tuned so you won't be disappointed. And what? She hadn't slept for a couple of days by now. The baby was leaning on a nerve. You know, I've been shutting him back. I have to stay here, right?
You're not alone.
Very inhibited here. I've been shuttling back and forth from the couch to the bed and back to the couch again. My neck was in several stages of multiply on strategic displacement. The only good pillow we had, she kept pushing between her knees for consolation. Anyway, we're lying there and she's staring at me. I have no idea what to say. Well, it looks like we could be in for a big one. Maybe I should go and cook some rice now in case the power goes out. So get up, pull a shirt and underwear. I'm going to the kitchen and put some water on to boil. Meanwhile, the television is insisting, well, this may happen or that may happen, but whatever happens, it's going to get very, very, very windy. And I slip back into bed. She's still staring at me, and I'm trying to remember not to let the water boil away. I'm trying to forget there's a fucking hurricane coming. But then suddenly she grabs me, rolls me over on top of her, and she's kissing me, her eyes are closed. She's breathing very, very deep and begging a little ecstasy, please, or at least a little distraction from this nerve. So I move to penetrate, but she stops. Not so fast, she says. Slowly. Slowly, but I figure the water must be boiling away by now. Besides, there's a bloody hurricane coming. So I grab her arms, but she's not ready yet. Will you listen? So I get up, pull my shirt and underwear, go back into the kitchen. The water's not even boiling yet, but I had the rice anyway. But by now, the sky's dark. I blink, and suddenly there's a torrential downpour. When I go back into the bedroom, she's kneeled down on all fours, picking up fluff from the carpet. We slip back into bed. I'm massaging her neck and shoulders. But I'm trying too hard. She said, you're trying too hard. I'm doing my best. I want you to want me, she keeps saying. I want you, I said. There's a bloody hurricane coming. Sounded like an excuse. I shuffle down between her legs. But she doesn't want that, she said. She doesn't want to be manipulated. She wants to be with me. I want to be, I don't know what the fuck you want. I get up, pull my shirt and underwear on, go back into the kitchen. By now the power's out, the TV's dead, or at least comatose. And the windows are blinded with rain, and outside I can hear the trees struggling to stay alive. I fix myself a bowl of barely cooked rice with honey and banana and read my book, The Rainbow, D.H. Lawrence. But I know she's not gonna leave me alone. Don't you want to be together? Do you just wanna hide away? There has to be something real between us. Otherwise, you may as well go. I may as well go to my mother's. So go to your mother's. Come on. She leads me back into the bedroom. And she's massaging my neck and shoulders. And we couple again. And for a few minutes, we feel like we get a bit of a rhythm going. I feel like I'm on a roll. Then suddenly she rocks me over and off because it's hurting, she says. She hurts. But I'm freaking out. I thought starting this shit all over again. So I grab her hands, but she's not ready yet. It's too soon, it's too sudden. It's too much like you've just had enough and you want to go and read your eyes and eat your book. And she's right. And she's angry and she's desperate and I'm angry and disconsolate. I get up, pull my shirt and underwear, go back into the kitchen, grab me bowl of rice and me book. But I know she's not going to let me get away with this. So I start taping my windows up. She's going to her mother's, she said. I obviously don't want her anymore. There's no passion left. There hasn't been any passion for months. I just want to use her and abandon her, be cold and cruel. That's not true. I just want to read me book and eat me rice in peace. Is that too much to ask? You keep telling me to relax. As soon as I do, you won't let me. But what about me? You know what it's like for me? After I get past a certain point, the pressure builds up. I need to be satisfied. You have to satisfy me now. You got your rocks off. I didn't get me fucking rocks off. Besides, you started it. You're always doing this. You're driving me crazy. By now, she's banging her face with her fist and the bile's rising to my throat. Will you bloody stop that? Get out, she screams. Get out, get out. No, you get out. And I slap her across the face. Don't you hear? Don't you dare hit me, not with the baby, right? You're a dead man, you're a dead man. And she runs downstairs, still in a nightie. I hear the front door slam and it's so quiet. Apart from that hurricane happening outside. I lie on the bed and try to let the wind blow my brains out. Then I hear this voice calling my name. She's locked herself out and I know I must need it to be like this. I pull some pants on, go downstairs and let her in, and she's soaking wet and she's nearly been killed and I've eaten all the rice, she's screaming, and by now I'm hiding out in the bathroom. But we both know there's no escape. And we finally meet somewhere between the kitchen and the bathroom, and she's naked now, except for a little purple vest. I'm in my shirt and my underwear, and she pulls me down on the bed because she's ready now, she says. She's ready now, don't I feel it? Don't I feel her? She's ready now, she loves me. She loves me and I love her, and she's ready now, and sure enough, it all comes out so clean and so effortless, like spilling all the leftovers down a deep, dark well, so you never have to look at that particular mess ever again. But later that night in the candlelit darkness, she can't sleep again. The baby's back on the nerves. She's pacing up and down the bedroom. You know, she doesn't want this baby anymore. Look what it's doing to her. After all she's done for it, she wishes it was dead. No, she doesn't wish it was dead. She just needs to sleep again. Then we hear this. I can see that. Then we hear this voice outside on the street. Officer Markey. Officer Markey. There's a blue light blinking through the curtain. It's a police car. This flashlight is bouncing around in the darkness. Officer Markey. Officer Markey. We kneel together at the window and speculate scenarios till that blue light blinks away off up the street. That flashlight still bouncing. Officer Markey. Officer Markey. But for some reason, this quietens the baby down. And we can sleep now, no trouble at all, apart from the mice trying to get in the garbage. Then a couple of months later, it all happens so fast. In the middle of the night, her water breaks. I get dressed. She holds on this overcoat with pink slippers, and we drive vividly in silence through the abandoned downtown streets. By the time we reach the hospital, she's already beginning a brutally brief labor. I'm sitting helpless by her bedside, holding her hand, mopping her brow. All the tantrums and the fears and anxieties drowned in a wash of simple endurance. And suddenly, shockingly, through all the blood and the mucus, there appears this muted mass of meat and brain and undiluted spirit, silent as a grave, exhumed, yet eyes wide open and a kick ready trained for posterity, and the tears swept through my body like the last wave over Atlantis. One final gasp and shudder, and it was done. It was finished. It was born, a whole new world to be justified all over again. But all I could see through the mist in my eyes was this tiny pair of arms reaching up for help. Thank you.
Did I do it?